Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Got a bit of a way, talking about rock and roll coming up soon with the Manchester thing. The guy goes, sent me through, he said, Matty, is it true there is a story that the Kangaroos were playing in France, in Carcassonne, and Tom Cruise walked into the dressing room? Well, you almost nailed it. It did happen, but it was Kevin Costner. They were over there, they were playing the French in a game. I think it was second test in Carcassonne, and he was filming Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves. Went to the game and decided to go down into the dressing room half time. That the story was Bozo's trying to get the boys in. They've walked into half time and he's going, come on, boys, come on, get down. Come on, let's chat away because they're getting beat at half time, right? Anyway, he looks over and goes, mate, fair dinkum, who's this dribbler in the dressing room? And it was Kevin Costner.
I've never heard that story.
That was so
Kevin
good.
Costner.
Kevin Costner? Like peak fame? Yeah.
Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves. Yeah.
Only the late, great Bozo could call Kevin Costner a dribbler.
Who's this dribbler?
You.
Just want to mention, too, boys, before we get to more feedback, the passing of Kyle White. We spoke about Johnny Sadler at the top. Kyle was a real cult player in the into the early to mid-90s in the rugby league. Played at... He played around a number of clubs, including West, Canterbury, had a stint with Illawarra, went over to England with Workington Town, passed away in his sleep, they're saying heart attack. A story in the Daily Telegraph from his brother, Josh, quite heartbreaking, talking about the demons he battled at the back end of his last couple of years of his life. But he was a scary player, boys. He was scary. I don't know many players who could hit harder than Kyle White.
No, absolutely. That's very sad, mate.
Webby, what's the latest? Got a question here from a Dragons fan. What is the latest? Is Hook off the hook or is he still on the hook about to be cooked?
Well, unreliable reports that he was seen dusting off his old typewriter and bashing out his resume before he had to reapply for his job. I don't know if he's actually reapplying for his job as such, but... He'll reapply for his job by the way the Dragons go in the next 10 to 12 weeks, I'd say.
Okay.
But, look, the Dragons getting bashed up about it, and I bashed them up too on Wednesday. I sort of changed my mind a little bit. They're going to have to go, talk to other coaches, prospective coaches.
Yep.
So they might as well be up front and tell him about it instead of going behind his back, and then it's probably more destabilising if that starts getting leaked out, you know, in the press. I actually think I've been as critical of the Dragons management as anyone in the last 5 to 10 years. I think it's not the worst idea. But to me, it just shows you how much faith they don't have in him.
Yeah.
And haven't really for the last 3 years when they've just extended him for 1 year. The big question is, who is it? Who replaces him?
Seems like Jason Ryle's favourite and Dean Young and Benny Hornby as a coaching team second choice.
I love the idea. Mm. I love all three of them.
Yeah.
I get all of them back there.
If Jason Ryles put his hand up and said, listen, I'm ready to go right now, would they say to Anthony, thank you for your tenure?
Like, yeah, probably.
Would it?
It would. I don't know. I don't think the Roosters, for starters, would let him. Ryles is contracted to the end of last year. I've spoken to the Roosters about this, and they say they just don't want to get left in the dark like they did with Adam O'Brien when he went late in the season to Newcastle. So they just, if he's not going to be there, they want to know with a bit more time.
Well, it's interesting because what may rush their decision to a certain degree is the fact that Jason Ryles could be on the hit list for the Melbourne Storm. Well, he's favourite there if Craig steps down.
Is he? I got told that Mark Brentnell's the
yeah, right.
yeah, in line for that job.
Who's but that?
He's their assistant coach.
Greg Brentnell.
Yeah.
Who played for the Kangaroos and played with Canterbury. It's his son.
Okay.
So very well
Look,
regarded.
That might have changed a bit, but the big question is, do the Dragons need can they afford to have a rookie coach in that role? You know, and I think you'll find the likes of Des Hasler and Flanagan will push pretty hard saying that with that sort of that argument. And I said it on Joel and Fletch yesterday, and I've said it many times in the paper, I don't think the Dragons getting a new coach is just the big panacea. I think they need a head of football. They need to that can
build the club again.
Yeah, build the club again, but also just they've got all those juniors. Yeah. Like Cameron Serralo wanted that job ahead of the Bulldogs. Well, and they said no, and because the whole reason was because of the junior base.
Well, it seems as though St George, Illawarra, and Newcastle are going through a similar situation where you know, Newcastle were turning over coaches, they were struggling with their juniors, and they finally bit the bullet and they brought in Peter Parr.
That's right.
So that's what you're telling me. That's what they've got to get going there. Webby, this one here, talking about the CBA, the players thing, I mean, the industrial action, they're talking industrial action again. I was of the belief that it was basically done. And then we hear, you know, then we saw last week the boycotting of the launch of Multicultural Round, which we said was insane. And now there's talk of industrial action again. This is like the Mitchell Moses contract thing. It's just, it just won't end.
Well, the NRL of the opinion was almost to be done. I think there's a few little bits and pieces there that they need to get signed off on. But I think one of the big sticking points is this transfer system. You know, they're trying to bring that deadline from November 1 to June 30 just to cut the time where clubs players can negotiate. So they're not signing with clubs a year in advance. And this is what I just can't cop from the RLPA when they talk about, look, we don't want to take industrial action for the fans. We're worried about the fans, yet they don't care about the ridiculous transfer of players between clubs a year in advance. They're not thinking about the fans. Saying this, that it's all about the fans. It's like such bullshit.
I hear they say, you know, players need a lot of notice to be able to move cities and all the rest of it.
Oh, God, I'm sick of that too.
I've never heard of someone having a problem when they're going to get a pay rise.
Exactly. And, well, as someone from the NRL explained that one to me, well, if you don't want to move, don't take the new contract. don't go. If you don't want to go and it's too short a notice, don't go. Stay at the club. Don't take the money.
Miss Ol, you're a Dogs man. Encouraged by their recent performances?
Yeah, I am. I was really excited to see Burton running the ball at Belmore the other week. It's interesting when I watched the Bulldogs the first couple of weeks, I thought probably three of the rustiest performances across the team were Kikau, Burton, and to a lesser extent, Adokar, who all played at the World Cup and have had shortened pre-seasons.
Yeah.
Then I looked at Penrith last night, nearly their whole squad was at that World Cup. So I'm starting to wonder, is this form going to increase as the season goes, as they get a little bit fitter? Because Kikau was, he was struggling in the sun last week.
Yeah, he was.
I was up there on that hill. I nearly had heat stroke myself.
Did you stand on the hill?
Yeah, I was on the hill. And you know the mistake I made?
People's
chair. I wore the old HFC Finance jersey, which is the long sleeve, thick, thick cotton. I was sweating.
Were you hydrated?
Were you hydrated
throughout the afternoon?
No, you could not get a beer on that hill. The lines were just crazy.
No, really?
It was great though.
Watching the early rounds, you're right, James. World Cup years, or not World Cup years, it was the year after kangaroo tours always threw up weird competitions. Because back in the day, it was 12 weeks or something away on the kangaroo tour. So players would come back, they'd have basically no rest and they're back into training. And there were always a lot of injuries. The top sides were hitting the wall. It was always serving up strange competitions. I think we're seeing a little bit of that.
Can I ask one question on Matt Burton? So we're three rounds in now and he hasn't hit one of his Burton bombs. Would there be a reason, as a playmaker, if you've got that in the duffel bag, to not pull it out for 3 weeks straight?
I'd be jamming it up. If I was Burton, anything from 55 out, I'd be just nailing. It's a bit the same with Nathan.
Yeah.
I didn't hit one last night. What they like to do, they like to put the ball up, not lolly the ball, but not put it, so you can hit the player on impact and not let them get any go forward and then the wingers and so on to kick starts the set. However, I just think if I'm a fullback, I'm happy to take it those ones that get hit on impact as opposed to those bombs that were like spat out of Satan's mouth.
Oh, yeah. I heard an interview, I can't think who it was with, might have been Serralda, whoever it was. Anyway, they said about why isn't Burton doing these kicks, and they said, you know, sometimes they're under too much pressure or it's not the right time in the game. Burton did one of those in Origin from centre, from his own 30-metre line that landed on Queensland's 10-metre line and was just a nightmare. How much more pressure can you be under to hit one of those? And he hasn't done it in three rounds. So I'm just wondering if maybe Serralda said to pull back on that. Or
yeah, I think at the moment there's an obsession with, as I said, putting this certain style of kick in. Yeah. That isn't so much a challenge for the wingers and fullback to get, but They can't get yardage, but I'm with you. Get on the offensive. Just nail them.
Cleary terrorised Wonga Blake. I think it was last year.
Mm.
And I'm watching last night, and I had a little bit of an investment on Penrith, and it just makes you a bit more into the game. And I'm watching Cleary even going, Where is it? Bailey Simonson couldn't catch that. Yeah, where's that?
Yeah.
Where's that spiraling?
Also, talking of kicks that non-existent kicks, what happened to tackle restart? Like rolling it into the end goal.
Yeah, yeah.
They just don't do that hardly anymore. As much as that used to be such the big play. That was Joey's big play. You know, he's the master of an Alfie. You know,
you've actually got to get. That's one of the core skills as a playmaker. Getting that repeat set. I've heard people say, oh, it's ridiculous. Like this 7-tackle set, it shouldn't happen if you kick the ball dead. No, it should.
Mm.
It should happen. If you duff a kick and
But is that why
it
they're
rolls,
not doing it?
What?
Is that why they're not doing it?
I think it is.
But I think that's ridiculous. Because if you're a halfback, then you should be able to stop it in the
Well, I tell you what, when I get them there to work on their short kicking game, I divide the in goal in half. And say, righto, and teaching how to spin the gas off the ball. That makes sense. You hit the ball with a certain part of your foot, and it'll go in the end goal and then spin and just stay in the end goal.
How do you do that with your
foot? I'll show you after.
Can you
look.
Do
not, there's not many.
I tell you what,
Joey
actually showed me how, once, what was it, a training session about? Like, I used to get it to
the banana.
The grubber kick, and but then it, no, not
yeah.
the banana. The
yeah.
grubber kick, and then it's sort of like turn and basically
that's
run
it.
Along the dead ball line.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
You know, he had a videotape of all that stuff. One of my mates used to have it go around to his place before he played footy in the backyard, and he'd put on the Andrew Johns kicking cassette tape, and you'd sit there and watch, and Joey would go, "This is how you hold the ball to do a banana kick."
That's right. You know what? Kevin Sheedy once showed me how to torpedo punt, or tried to show me how to torpedo punt properly.
Yeah.
I kicked it. Straight at his head. It just shanked. It went bang right at Sheed's head. I nearly killed Sheed's.
We had a
bloke that
came over. We had an English guy who used to coach Johnny Wilkinson. And he used to travel around the world. He was a specialist with goal kicking and general play kicking. And he played a little bit of NFL as a kicker with Minnesota Vikings. And he had a mathematical equation for a torpedo. And it was 11 and 1 is the fact that you face your body at 11 o'clock on a clock and the point of the ball at 1 o'clock, and you smash it, it'll go down straight down the line at midnight.
Yes. There you go.
And it never worked. we'll take a break. Sound advice coming up.